Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.
I'm your host, Jihad Muhammad of Atlanta, Georgia. Tonight, we continue with the series, Courting. It's not dating. It's how the righteous find a spouse, part two. Tonight, at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks with Sister Dawn Muhammad of Muhammad's Mosque 25, North New Jersey. Sister A.T. Hammett of the Austin, Texas Study Group. And from Mosque 69, Birmingham, Alabama, Chief Magistrate Court Justice Maurice Muhammad is back with us tonight. Tonight, we invite you to take the courtship examination that we've prepared for you to see if you're ready for courting. In the second hour, we will review the divine message, the time, and what must be done. Part 23 by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Our guest at the Farrakhan Speech Roundtable Talks with Student Minister Charles Muhammad of Muhammad Mosque 32, Phoenix, Arizona. Student Minister Willie Muhammad of Muhammad Mosque 46, New Orleans, Louisiana. And our former state captain of the great state of Alabama, Ray Muhammad, is back with us tonight. Also, Boots on the Ground. We will salute the soldiers of the Fruit of Islam who got their boots on the ground with the Final Call newspaper across America. So sit back, relax, and take the courtship exam and see how well you fare. Buckle up. Let's ride. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant. I greet the listening audience tonight with the greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum. I'd like to say from the outset, Sister Dawn Muhammad is running late. She may or may not be with us in this first hour. She is being in a meeting right now, actually, and it's very difficult for her to get away. But hopefully, with the help of Allah, maybe she can get in and help us with the examination tonight. I want to give a special shout out to a wonderful sister who helped prepare this show. Actually, this is her brainchild, and she gave it to me out of the interest of us learning how to do the courtship properly because many of us did not know. Let me give a special shout out to Sister Waleska X out of the Compton Muhammad's Mosque 54 for preparing this show and giving us the heading of the show, showing us exactly what the courtship process is about. And this is the reason why we are bringing this to you, because many of us do not understand the proper way to courtship in the mosque. And many of us are having problems in our relationship, and it's mainly due to the fact that we did not go through the courtship properly. So this show was inspired by Sister Waleska X, and thank you, Sister, and shout out to you. Right now on the line is our sister who wrote the courtship manual, and she's had some contributing writers to help her with the manual. But we have our sister back tonight who is responsible for this manual that we'll be giving the examination from. Sister A.T. Hammett is on the line. As-salamu alaykum, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Wa alaykum salam. How are you?
I'm doing fine, beloved. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, and I want to thank you again for honoring me to be able to be back on the program again.
Oh, sister, you know, this is it. The honor is all ours because we have a courtship manual that many around the country do not even know exists. And so I thank you for this manual. It is it's an excellent read. It's not a difficult read. And I think if many of us really got into this manual, we would really probably go through a much better courtship into an engagement into marriage. Let me ask you before we get started, the singles ministry that's in the courtship manual, how is that applied? Is that something that's going on around the country right now? This is something that you desire to see implemented, or what is going on with the singles ministry?
Okay. First of all, I just want to clarify one thing. The majority of the courtship manual is actually a collection of articles, a collection of just information that we've been given in the nation throughout years. Information from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, information from Mother Tynetta, information from various pioneers, the interview from the minister, which, as we said last week, forms the basis of it, of the entire manual, from the information from Brother Jibril. So it's really a collection, and I would like to say I'm more of an editor than a writer. And you know, I threw in some more extra things in question and answers and things of that nature. But the singles ministry, which is another part of the courtship manual, which was contributed and developed by Sister Miyoshi of Baltimore, it's really a tool or mechanism by which the married believers can assist the single believers in the courting process, and if they so desire to getting married, but it's more of a support, and it's not necessarily uniformly established throughout the nation, but it was an idea that was proposed. I don't know how it is going in various cities and states, but I do know that there are some states that have a pretty good singles ministry. Now, how developed those it is, I can't say because I'm not there, but I know Atlanta has a pretty good singles ministry, New York, in a few other places. So, you know, that was mainly something that she proposed that we do in the nation to support one another. And hopefully it will be, you know, established throughout the nation.
Okay. What is the singles ministry? Can you explain to us in words, what is the single ministry about? Who is it for? Who's involved with it?
Okay, and I do apologize. I don't have my manual in front of me to go through all of the details of it, but it was mainly established by Sister Miyoshi, who was a member of the Singles Retreat Planning Committee. It was developed for the purpose of getting those married believers to support, give guidance to single believers who are either courting or want to court, or plan to get married at some point in the future. The married believers would not only assist in some of the smaller tasks such as chaperoning, but also they would assist in counseling, offering guidance and instruction wherever they may, and we would do joint workshops and other events and exercises.
Okay. All right. Is Chief Magistrate Court Justice Brother Maurice Muhammad from Birmingham on the line?
Yes, sir. How are you there, brother?
Salaam alaikum, sir. How are you?
Alaikum salam. I'm doing very well. Doing very well.
It's good to have you back on the line, sir.
All great to be with you and your audience and all of the brothers and sisters. Good to hear everyone.
Well, you know, brother, my audience is your audience. We started this thing together, brother, and I'm going to keep it that way. This is your audience too, sir. Okay, let me get started. To the listening audience tonight, what we're going to do is this. Get a piece of paper, and on the piece of paper, I want you to put one column, put me, and another column create put not me. What we're going to do with Brother Maurice tonight and Sister AT tonight is we're going to go through the two columns. One column is going to be, when should one not get married? We're going to go down the list, and I'll have Sister AT and Brother Maurice explain each one as we go down the line. And then we're going to do, when should one, okay, when should one get married? Again, me or not me, all right? This is a simple examination where you have to be honest with yourself, and it's not that long. It should be about maybe 16 different statements on here. Let me begin by saying this. When should one get married? There are always signs that let us know when we are not prepared for marriage. We should be honest with ourselves and search our motives for wanting to get married prior to saying those all-important vows. If you should fall into any one of these categories, avoiding marriage at this time is probably a good idea, or at the very least, one should seek counseling prior to marriage. Do not marry. Okay, here we go. When should one not get married? Sister 18, we're going to go with this one. Because you need a spouse to help you care for your children. That's not a good enough reason to want to get married, Sister 18?
No, sir. That's not a good motive, and that's something that we all have to do, search our motives in getting married. You shouldn't want to get married just because you have children. Oh, I need somebody to help me with these children. Okay. What happens to that other person? Are they marrying you just to be a babysitter or to be somebody to offer you some economic assistance? Are you truly entering into a union where your goal is to become one with Allah? Are you just trying to become one with feeding children?
Okay. Brother Maurice, you want to chime in on that or you want to move on?
Well, I think Sister AT hit it right on the head. That's definitely a reason not to get married.
Okay. The next one is, when should one not get married? Economic security. What say you, Brother Maurice?
Well, by Allah's grace, if we deal with that in the proper text, we have gone through our proper channel to, as FOI, to make sure that we are qualified to be married. It's one thing to want to be married, but it's another thing to qualify yourself to be married, as well as going through the proper protocol of our classes. When you cannot trust your captain's decision on a sister or a brother, or the captain's decision on the brother, then I think we really need to look at that. Economically, if the brother is struggling by himself, marriage won't help him. You know, the minister always teaches us that the black woman is responsibility. So when you sign up to take a woman's hand in marriage, you sign up for that responsibility to secure her in that marriage. So we have to be very careful that we are properly securing ourselves first, and then the sisters in our relationship, as we begin to develop or desire a relationship, she comes in as a helpmeet, not a co-worker or a co-helper in that.
Okay. Sister AT, you want to chime in or are you good?
Yes, sir. The brother's points were excellent. I just wanted to add that some, and I'm going to speak on sister's side specifically, sometimes get married because they want economic security. And they feel that this brother can offer them economic security, financial security, where they don't have to worry about a roof over their head. That's not a good motive for getting married. Again, you don't get married to somebody just because they have money and they can take care of you. That should not be your sole motivating reason to marry somebody. It should be, again, because you are trying to establish a union ultimately with Allah, with this person. But if you get married because, oh, he got money, he can take care of me, what happens when the money goes? What happens when something happens to that person? Then are you going to leave them? Are you going to just kick them to the curb because they no longer can take care of you? That's not a proper motive for getting married.
That's okay. True.
Okay. When should one not get married? It goes here. Because you want someone to make you happy. Loneliness What say you, Sister A.T.?
Again, we are responsible for our own happiness. You cannot marry somebody because you want somebody to make you happy. You have to come into the marriage whole, already happy, and then hopefully your happiness and his happiness, will 1 plus 1 will equal 10. But to put that burden on somebody else, it becomes a burden for somebody to always be the one to try to make you happy. Again, we hopefully get married and we add to each other's joy, but not because I'm lonely, I need somebody, you know. That's neediness. And neediness is a shaky foundation to enter into any kind of union with someone.
That's a very good point. Brother Maurice, it also mentions loneliness here.
Oh, yes, sir. You know, loneliness is that's a heavy one, you know, because as a brother or sister gets up into years, or not even into years, but into life in general, you need someone to share life with. I remember reading in Minister Ava's book, Real Love. She said one of the top reasons for failed marriage is unfulfilled expectations. Mm. So if we are expecting someone else to complete us other than ourselves, and then we begin Allah, then we come into that position, as Sister A.T. mentioned, very needy. And in some instances, as we are taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that debt is slavery. So when you owe someone your happiness, or you owe someone that emotional charge, if they withhold it from you, then you could become a slave and then really become an idol worshiper of that person. So then in your life, there are more gods than Allah. So when you make your shahada, there is no God but Allah, Muhammad is his messenger, you're actually lying, because now you're looking at that brother or that sister as another need fulfiller other than Allah.
See, brothers and sisters, this is the kind of judges we need on the bench. Chief Magistrate Court Justice, Brother Maurice Muhammad. Thank you, Brother Muhammad. That was very profound, Brother Maurice. Very profound. Sister, you was getting ready to add something?
Excellent point.
Yes. Well, here's one that Sister Dawn wanted to address and she couldn't get here. But this next one is, when should one not get married for sex? She felt that a lot of the young people were getting married to keep from violating the law because of sexual urges. Go ahead, Sister H, you chime in on this one for sex.
Yes, sir. Shaky foundation. I mean, you getting married on the basis because I want to have sex with this person. Okay, that'll wear away. Then what? You know? I've heard the minister say several times, what did he say? Getting married for sex is, all you're doing is getting married for legalized fornication. I believe that's what he said. And
right.
Again, that is sex like alcohol or other intoxicants can get you drunk where you cannot make a good decision about what you the moves that you make in your life. So getting married on that basis is one of the it's a base reason to get married, basically.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm a little bit at loss of words, but
that's all right.
If you don't have anything other than that, your union is not going to last. And I've known some people who've gotten married on that basis, and I'm telling you, the marriage didn't last. We're talking about few months and the marriage was over. I mean, because
wow.
Do you really know the person? Are you committed to this person? You know, so those are the factors that need to be looked at.
Beautiful. Brother Maurice, what say you, sir?
Well, you know, brother, sexual urge is a very powerful, powerful piece. And when we're moving simply on those urges, you know, the messenger and the minister gave us a study guide talking about rising above emotion into the thinking of God. When we can rise above even that emotion, then, and really look into the thinking of God, why am I coming together with this person? Are we coming together because we love each other or we lust each other? You know, and when we just simply like one another, there is no responsibility there. There is no connection there. You know, the only connection is that urge, and when that urge is fulfilled, and it may not be what you thought it was, and now you have no relevance. Your relationship now has no relevance other than attempting to get to that next point of high. It's almost like being addicted to a narcotic, as Sister talked about. It's almost like being intoxicated. I mean, your judgment is seriously impaired. You know, you go out and put yourself in debt. You go out and the worst thing that could happen is a child is produced from this misunion. And when you do that, then now we are causing the very same rut that we and the Nation of Islam is attempting to remedy, because family has to be the cornerstone of our nation. And we're basing that on an empty emotion such as sex, then we find ourselves in the same rut of divorce, in the same rut of adultery, in the same rut of legalized fornication, and that produces a negative family environment.
Beautiful. I want to say again.
The words right out of my mouth. That was beautifully stated. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I just want to say to the listening audience, don't forget you got your two columns out. You got your me column and your not me column. Let's move right along. When should one not get married? Because everyone else is doing it, getting married, or you are pressured into doing so. Sister A.T., what say you?
Yes, sir. I've actually known someone who told me that they were a sister told me that she was engaged, and she said, oh, I thought you would be engaged too, because everybody else is. And it just kind of threw me off a little bit. But sometimes we do pressure people into marriage or push them in that direction when that's not the direction that they should be going, particularly when a believer is a brother or sister is in courtship. Courtship, it doesn't mean that you're engaged. It means that we are trying to find out if we are compatible enough to get married. And
good point.
A lot of times we see a brother and sister in courtship, and we're like, oh, when is the wedding? You know, and putting that undue pressure on somebody can sometimes lead to some bad consequences. And I just know from experience, again, I was in a courtship once, and people were asking me, oh, when is the marriage? I'm like, we're just trying to find out if we are compatible for marriage, you know. But sometimes we give in to those pressures. But definitely you shouldn't pressure someone into marriage, and no one should feel pressure to get married if that's not what they're ready for.
You're right. Brother Maurice, what say you, sir?
Well, you know, I think with anything that we do, well, I think we must respect and honor our foundation of being believers. And the Quran said that there's no compulsion in Islam. You know, we
right.
should not be placed or forced into a marriage, because just like everybody's doing it, everybody's going to be divorcing too. Because marriage should be a happy place.
Right.
You know, it should be a place that when you're there, that person that you're with has a portion of you and you have a portion of them, and you're working feverishly to complete yourself so that you can be better for Allah, and they're doing the same thing, and you see the marriage growing, you see the relationship growing. So when we do things out of pressure, or if we do things with ill-gotten gains at the end of it, then it becomes a problem, because ultimately we have to deal with it systematically. And the systematic problem would be divorce. The systematic problem would have Muslim children growing up without their fathers and mothers in the same household. So then you become no better than what you left in the world.
Okay. All right. Well, here's one. When should one not get married? Because a child has been conceived. Sister A.T., what say you?
Absolutely. Again, having getting pregnant or maybe the sister that the brother was seeing, you know, is got pregnant, that, again, is not a strong foundation for marriage. Number one, you have to consider the fact that a restrictive law has been broken. And you have to look at what are the factors that led to that, and is that the proper mindset to go into a marriage? Is that the proper foundation to go into a marriage? Is there love and commitment and responsibility present? And sometimes you may have the sense of responsibility. Oh, okay, wow, I got to take care of this child. Okay, maybe you have that sense of responsibility, but do you have that sense of love? And we're talking long term, till death do us part. And if those elements are not present, then you don't need to be marrying that person simply for the fact that they got pregnant. Sometimes it's better, you know, you're in the nation, take your time out, but take care of your responsibility on the brother and the sister side and rebuild from there and learn from that experience. But certainly getting married just because a child is conceived is not going to assure you that marriage is going to last forever, particularly because, again, you have to look at the basis by which you came together. Now, I do know some believers, brothers and sisters, who they didn't tell me, but I just kind of figured it out, that, you know, a child was conceived and then there was a marriage. And sometimes those marriages do last. But I believe I've never seen a union like that did not have major problems. And so those are some, definitely will be some challenges that will come along with that.
Okay. Brother Maurice, did you want to chime in or you want to move right along?
I could just say one little thing on that. If we stay in the natural course of things, they will tend to handle themselves. Oftentimes we make statements like, I got to take care of my baby. That's good in a sense, but not necessarily good. Because if you have a child, it is the natural thing to take care of your child. And you should not be made back to compulsion. You should not have to be made to take care of something that you produced. So if we stay in the natural course of what we are being taught for the good of all of us, then we can better our system and better systematically grow into where the nation needs to be.
Okay. Now, this one here is a pretty tricky one. This is definitely going to need some explanation with this one. When should one not get married when there is a lack of compatibility in major areas? Could you, Sister A.T., break down what is that? What are the major areas that you're concerned with here? We lose, sister?
I'm sorry. I'm here, brother. I was actually trying to open up my courtship manual. And if you
want me to repeat it?
Let me know what page that's on. Yes, sir.
That's page 47.
Okay.
And it says, when should one not get married when there is a lack of compatibility in major areas?
Okay. Some of those areas of compatibility are what are each other's goals in life. You may have, I was listening to, the minister made there's an excerpt on YouTube. It's called Knowing Your Role. I believe that's the name of it. And you may have totally divergent goals in life as a husband and wife. And if your goals aren't together, then you are going to ultimately grow apart. That's an area of compatibility. Another area of compatibility are do you have the same levels of ambition? you share similar values. Do you both, I mean, even some of the nitty-gritty items such as children, those are some areas. And there's a book that the guy who, the founder of eHarmony, he wrote a book on the compatibility factors. And here it is. I'm sorry, and I got to the page. Dr. Neil Clark Warren wrote a book called Falling in Love for All the Right Reasons, and he wrote on some of the major compatibility factors. And some of those are your character, that person's character. Your character should be compatible. Your family backgrounds, there should be some similarities in there. Your level of intellect, you should have similar energy level. Are you both spiritually compatible? Your education levels, your appearances. Some appearances is not something that we should totally cast aside, although we shouldn't judge each other on the package that we come in. But sometimes we have a natural leaning towards appearance, a certain type of appearance. And I remember Mother Tynetta saying that, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that in terms of your appearance, that you shouldn't, there should be compatibility in terms of, is he 7 feet tall and she's 4 feet tall? There may be some incompatibility there. And she even said that, dear Holy Apostle said that they should almost have brother-sister characteristics as though they're brother and sister, those type of qualities. What type of mood does this person carry most of the time, and how do they manage their moods, dominance versus submission, their health? I know my father always used to talk about you should find out the health backgrounds of each other. Does this person have mental illness in their background? Does mental illness run in the family? Those are some things that you have to look at, because if it does and this person develops some mental disorder, is that something that you can deal with?
Right.
So those are some of the compatibility factors that are very important that you have to look at when you are considering somebody for marriage, because if you don't, you can grow apart, or it can lead to a lot of conflict.
Okay. But Brother Maurice, did you want to chime in? We got about a half hour to go, and we still got to do the when should one get married? So we're going to try to move along. Yeah, but anyway, yes, go right ahead, Brother Maurice.
Yes, sir. I was laughing with Sister A.T. as she was going that definition. I think my wife might be in a little trouble down the line. But dear brother, I think being honest and truthful, one of the biggest things in a marriage that you have, or courtship in general, is being truthful and honest with yourself, because oftentimes we can dress up, you know, we'll get a brand new suit for Savior's Day, and we think, you know, we're the best looking thing in the world. But if we are not fulfilled in our communication with our mate of our courtship is not forthright, then we can end up lying to our relationship, and our relationship will be based and centered around one big lie. So it is very important that we communicate honestly, even if we may have to, that may not be the person for you. So please don't just try to sell them a bill of goods about who you are, and don't accept the bill of goods about who they are. As Sister said, this is a courtship. This is a point where you bring evidence to the stand and you communicate it. You have a person, our chaperones, the people who are advising us, should be almost prosecutors, if you will. You know, they may bring evidence. You know, your captain, brother, look at your record. You don't come to the mosque. So, you don't do this. You don't do that. You don't participate. So how can you be a good husband for her and lead her to Allah? And you kind of getting on that borderline teetering, you know, banana peel situation. So, you know, all of these things make up our communication base. How can we communicate one with the other? How can I tell the sister when she hurts my feelings? How can I tell the brother when, you know, he's being a little too aggressive? How can, you know, how our communications are so key in the determining factors of our courtship.
Okay, I got one question here from a listener. They want to know about, this is off the track a little bit, but they want to ask about courting outside of the nation. What is the advice on that?
You really can't have
brother wants to go out. I definitely
have
Okay, I'll go ahead, sister. Go ahead, please. Well, I'll be quick. My advice would be no, and I'm not just speaking to you out of somebody who has not been there. I became impatient before I got married. I became impatient, and I said, "Oh, can't find nobody in the mosque. I'm gonna go date somebody outside of the mosque." So I dated a brother and let him know what the law was. I call myself laying down the law. I said, no premarital sex, brother, and this and that, and okay, I think I could deal with that. And it just, of course it didn't last, but but you have to look at, does this person share the same values that you share? Does this person have the same view on the work of the resurrection? To me, that's the cornerstone of my life. You talk to this person about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Can you talk to this person about Master Farad Muhammad? I mean, if you can't share with this person the core of who you are, which it should be in MGTR and FOI, your essence, then that means that there will always be a gap between you and that other person.
Right.
But a believer will understand where you're coming from. But that's what I experienced. I came to the conclusion, wow, we don't even eat the same. We don't even have the same diet. I can't even talk to this person about the domestic life of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And this person is not on the same road that I'm on. So, I came to the conclusion I'm wasting my time. And and just decided, I'm going to be patient and wait on Allah. And he will bless us out of his grace, is what the Holy Quran says. So that would be my advice, is no, because there are more incompatibility factors than there are compatibility factors.
Right. And we're talking about being evenly yoked. Yes, Brother Maurice, what say you, sir? We got 20 minutes to go.
I'm in total agreement with Sis AT on that one because, we come from different factions of life and different fractures of life. And oftentimes when we do that, we have to find a least common denominator. And in most cases, the least common denominator is the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the restricted law. So if a person is outside of the restricted law, how can you bring them? How can you have a conversation with them about the restricted law if they are not sworn to adhere to it?
That's a good point.
It's deep. Yeah, right. But no, that's not for me. I'm consensual. You're consensual. So we're both adults. So let's do this. But no, it's a deeper spiritual principle that this person has not even encroached upon. It's a deeper spiritual principle that you are attempting to make. It's one thing to be a righteous brother and say, I'm down, it's deep, assalamu alaikum, I'm coming to save this day, I'm going to give $100 or whatever. But to really understand the tenets of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, to understand the beauty of what Master Farad Muhammad brought to us and attempted to make us. He said he wanted to make us the most beautiful nation on the face of the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Not just our appearance, but our morality. The children would be able to see a world without fornication. The children would see a world without abuse and so on and so forth. But we have to agree that this is our lifestyle and this is where we are going with this. But outside of that, brothers and sisters, it's not going to make it. Our brothers and sisters just won't understand the depths of it until you attempt to subscribe to it.
Well, listen, audience, we're going to have to go through some of these kind of quickly, and I just want you to, I'm going to read them out, and then I'll let Brother Maurice, Sister AT comment on them as a whole, because we still have yet the other side to do. Let's go here and say, when should one not get married? If there is abuse in the relationship, Impatience, you feel as though you are too old to be single is another one. Another one is when one or both persons have serious mental health problems that are not being addressed. Sister AP touched on some of that earlier. And the last one is when there is no love, trust, or honesty. Sister AP, what say you to any of these?
Wow, those are a lot. I'll touch on domestic violence, mental health issues. If you want to invite hell in your life, then definitely you should not address your own mental health issues if there are any present, and you should definitely, you know, not address somebody else's. You can't go into a marriage thinking you're going to fix somebody, because that person can only be the one who makes a decision to take some actions to fix themselves. Domestic violence, very serious. That can lead to generations of damaged children and just a whole damage in families. And I think it's vitally important to know what some of the signs of domestic, a potential domestic abuser is, such as jealousy, possessiveness, trying to isolate you from your family and your friends. That's not a good basis to build a nation in the first place, but also to build a union with somebody who has those type of problems will definitely just bring nothing but unhappiness into your life. I know there are a lot, but those are the ones that kind of stood out.
Yes, ma'am. I'm just sorry. We're just getting too short on the hour. Hour is just not enough time to deal with such a serious nature such as courtship. Brother Maurice, go ahead, sir. What say you?
Very briefly, I think I kind of touch on the point of love and are you too old? You're never too old to experience love. You're never too old to experience and find someone that would like to experience your companionship. But one of the key things is really being able to love yourself. See, oftentimes we get married and we try to find relationships because we're not complete and we want someone to complete us. And that doesn't happen. The person that you marry simply becomes your companion in completion. They're striving to complete themselves. So the root of it is, do you love self? Do you love what God created when he created you? When you're in a room by yourself, do you love your company? And if you cannot love your company in a room by yourself, then why would you subject that company to another person? Because you don't know that mental aim, you don't know that mental aptitude that that person may have, that they may not be able to receive a person who cannot love themselves because they don't love themselves. So one of the things that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us first and out of the bat, out the blocks, is love thyself. So we have to love self and appreciate what Allah has created in us and understand us before we can really bless others with that.
Beautiful. In 20 minutes, we're going to go ahead and go to the other side of the columns now. For those of you who got your papers out, on me on one side, not me on the other side. Let's go to when should one get married. Often, one will run across someone who says they will marry when everything is perfect. This can lead one to stay perpetually single because rarely will anyone find themselves in a 100% perfect condition. The most happily married couples report that life wasn't a utopia when they decided to marry, but because they had invested some time and effort in preparing themselves for marriage, they were able to make the transition from single life to marriage. The following make for a strong foundation to marry. When should one get married? First one, you feel good about yourself. You know yourself and are clear about the type of person you wish to marry. You are just as concerned about being the right person as you are about finding the right person. Sister AT, what say you?
Absolutely. And you know what? It's really law of attraction. When you are constantly scanning the horizon out of a sense of neediness, you're not going to attract the right kind of person for you because, again, it's all about what basis do you attract someone? If you're already in a good place, you will attract somebody like that in a good place. And I've heard read from many people who got married, and they said that, you know what, I wasn't even looking for this person. I was really into my goals and my dreams. I was in a really good, happy place. I was enjoying life. That's usually when you attract somebody of like vibrations to yourself. So absolutely, that's one of the points that I had hoped you would touch on. Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Brother Maurice, you want to hit on that or you want to move on?
Oh, yes, sir. Just very, very briefly, since AT is 100% correct in saying that, because anytime we're working to fulfill our goals, a different energy that eludes from us will elude, and people will see a brightness or a glow about you, and people are attracted to that. And what you do is you attract that God sense that you are releasing to attract the God sense that someone else has in them, and those two God minds connect. It's never us. It's always our God mind speaking one with the other. So I think that is a very powerful point, that we have to be on our course and on our path of happiness in order to find that person.
Okay. Here's another one. When should one get married? You have properly went through the courtship process and discovered that you and your court mate have strong compatibility factors in crucial areas. Sister A.T., what say you?
Absolutely. That's everything that we've been discussing. You didn't rush into it. You weren't pressured to do it because somebody or somebody's were forcing you or putting undue pressure on you to do it. But you've taken out the time, that other person has taken out the time to really explore each other's strengths, each other's weaknesses, your goals, your areas of where you're alike, the areas where you're not alike, and you've made a sober and a thoughtful and a thought-out decision that this is the right person for me through the courtship process, because courting is not dating. Courting says, I'm ready to get married, and I'm going to explore with this other person both our similarities and our areas that we may not be so similar, to see if we're compatible for marriage. And if you weigh it all out and you've went through courtship properly, then you can best make that decision for each other, for yourself and for that person for themselves.
Okay. Brother Maurice, we got 10 minutes, sir.
Okay. So if AT hit it on the head, I'm going to leave it right where she put it.
Okay. Here's another one. When should one get married? You are willing to give of yourself unselfishly. Brother Maurice, what say you?
Well, I think that is the core of being a good believer in general. But being a husband, and of course you do give of yourself. Being a wife, yes, of course, you do give of yourself. Because self-sacrifice is one of the components that it takes to be a Muslim. You have to be long-suffering with one another in a context of love. We can't be too quick to be impatient with one as we're growing. So you definitely have to be self-sacrificing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, D.T., you want to comment on that or you want to move on?
Real quickly, brother said most of it. I just wanted to add that if you've been single for a long time and it's been all about me, you definitely got to make room in your own mind for another person. But if it continues to be just me, and you're not wanting to share and open up your life to include other people, meaning a spouse and perhaps children, then you marriage is not for you at this point in time. So. Yes, that's what I wanted to add.
Okay. When should one get married? You are ready to invest spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially in a family. Brother Maurice?
Well, brother, you can't have a relationship unless you invest it physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially into the building of a relationship. You can't do it. It's impossible, because what you're building is you are lending your emotional and your spiritual to support the dreams and aspirations that you can deal with on a financial level and on a physical level, because everything begins with the thought of it. So we have to be able to have a firm spiritual foundation in order to create a positive thought so that our physicalities can take over and do the actual work. So, yeah, I mean, you really don't have a relationship unless you're willing to be a willing investor.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay. Okay, moving right along, let's go to here. When should one get married? You are willing to invest the time and work towards building a strong marriage. That pretty much speaks for itself. Sister A.T., what say you?
Yes, sir. Just bouncing on what the brother said, marriage is a collaboration. And collaboration, that involves, it's things don't just fall into place. It takes work to build something. Whether it's building a house or building a marriage, building a family, you got to put time, and it takes work. And the kind of work that it takes is a mental and a spiritual and an intellectual type of work, because you're going to be stretched to places you never thought you would be stretched to when you get married. So you have to be willing to put in the work to research what's the best way of dealing with this situation. You have to be willing to put in the work to say, well, you know what, there may be another way of doing things that maybe I didn't think about, that, but maybe I need to submit my ego to listen to what this person has to say about it. It takes a lot of work to manage conflict, which will come up. So it's a work on a mental, a spiritual, and an intellectual level that you have to be ready for. But it's worth it. It's worth it, because that's the only way you're going to grow.
Okay. We've got 9 minutes, and we're going to go straight into the second hour. So I'm going to run through the rest of these and then have you make your comments toward them as I complete. Okay. When should one get married? It says, you have properly handled urgent financial and legal concerns. Okay. Another one is, you appreciate and don't feel threatened or insecure by the differences of your court mate. Mm-hmm. Another one is, you are willing to support your mate's interests. Mm-hmm. And another one is, when should one get married? You are just as concerned with the growth of a spouse as you are concerned with your own growth. I'll start with you, Sister A.T. What say you?
You know what? I wanted to make a comment on supporting each other's interests. Because
yes,
I think that very often we hear that, a woman is a man's helpmeet, and that she should support that man in what he is trying to accomplish in life. But I never hear a side of the conversation that talks about the husband supporting the wife in her interests. And I think that that's
point.
Something that both sides have to be willing to do, because a woman is not just somebody who has no interests, no goals, no dreams, you know, and I'm just here for you, and that's it, you know.
Right.
I think that's being a little unrealistic. So I wanted to just throw that out there, because one thing about my husband is I support him. We have a family business that we've started. You know, it's something that we worked on together, and that was something that came out of his brainchild. But I also have my own dreams of things that I really intensely care about, and he is just as interested in that, because he knows that that is the key to my happiness. So he wants me to be happy. I want him to be happy. So we have to support each other. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Beautiful, sister. Chief Judge, what'd you say?
Well, dear brother, those questions are very opposing. I wanted to deal with two of them. I really wanted to deal with the legal aspect as well as supporting your spouse. My wife just completed her PhD, and when she began the thought process of saying, I'm thinking about going so and so and moving on with my degree, I said, well, let us consider the schools. So I went out and I got pamphlets for the different PhD programs that were offered in the area to let her know, go ahead and do what you got to do. I got your back. You know, when it was time for her to study, I'd cancel what I had to do to make sure she had her opportunity to do her research, because as my wife, as I call her my second self, and I'm her second self, I have to make sure that she's happy. So if she is fulfilled, then it's going to open up a room in her to help me be more fulfilled, and she's going to help me into the things that I like to do. So if we begin to reciprocate each other, then our relationships will become more meaningful as a marriage, as a friendship. And as a married person, you have to maintain friendship and relationship with your spouse. If not, if you just come in and it's contractual, then you got a problem, because you're going to need a lawyer pretty soon, because usually a lawyer comes when there's a dispute in a contract. But if you have a friendship, when you have a relationship, then you can relate and become friends even before you are married. So that is the basis. The legal aspect, brothers and sisters, if you have outstanding legal issues, it would be unfair to your spouse or the person that you say that you love to bring them in with these issues unattended. They may not be resolved, but at least start the process so that this person can know up front that you got three bankruptcies and you won't be able to even buy a pack of gum on time. And so when you're looking at a house and you're like, I don't know why I didn't get no credit. You don't know that you got three bankruptcies. You don't know that every house prior to your meeting him or her has been foreclosed on, and you didn't know that? You wouldn't share that with me? Legal issues, we must be honest with one another in our communication. If not, they will bite us in the back. You know, they will bite us on the backside of it. You know, so we have to be very, very, very honest with one another.
Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, that was it, dear brother.
Okay. I'm going to close out with this. I got one caller wants to address the concerns about marrying people of the book. If there are people of the book that we can marry, they don't understand why we can't marry them. The concerns about it, because if the Quran said we can marry people in the book and they are not in the NOI but follow righteousness and are willing to respect your needs and embrace the teachings, I don't see why they would be excluded. Secondly is, in the book it says that you should wait till a person is in the mosque three to 6 months, Sister AT, that the courtship manual says, before you should be allowed to court someone that enters into the process of the Nation of Islam, that you should they should have to wait 3 to 6 months before you can go into courtship with them. I'm throwing a lot at you in a few minutes. Let me start with Sister AT. What say you, Sister AT?
That's a lot. Regarding the first question, first of all, I want to be very clear. You marry who you want to marry.
Yeah, all right.
Again, we are only throwing out things that for your consideration. And we talked about the factors of compatibility. If that person has similar, you know, if you share the same beliefs, the same values, you know, maybe that person, you know, shares some of the same practices as you. The only thing that we're telling you or advising or, you know, suggesting is that you look at all of those factors of compatibility to see whether or not these are, if you share the same similar values, that's going to carry you to death do you part.
Right.
Real quickly, brother, I'm sorry, golly, I'm trying to remember everything that you said. Oh, Minister Farrakhan said that if a sister has been in the mosque for a significant amount of time and the brother is just coming in, he sees the sister, ooh, I want to court her. He advises that it's better than not to court, and this is his recommendation. He said, let the brother get trained in the way of God for at least 3 to 9 months. You've been in the nation all this time. You have a lot of information. A lot of times information can divide people. When you know a lot about what you are into, and this brother is just coming in, and he doesn't know what you know, and he's going to try to be in your life, you're not going to be on the same footing. So that's why he gave that advice or and counsel to let that brother get in and get some teaching and learn the ways before he, you know, tries to, you know, get with a sister in quarter. So I kind of rushed it. And I'll just, I don't know, I know we're kind of at the end of our time.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes,
all right.
Well, if there's closing statements, then I did have one more comment, so I'll just wait.
Okay. Brother Maurice, what say you? I threw a lot at you, sir.
Well, dear brother, I'm in agreement with Sister A.T. on that issue. Because as a young student captain, I had the opportunity not necessarily the privilege to deal with an issue just like that, where a sister and a brother had just come in. Well, brother had just come back in the ranks, and sister had been in the ranks, and we ended up having to come over and referee a royal battle, you know, battle royal, a lumberjack match almost. You know, it was crazy. It was a train wreck. And when she was mentioning that, I said, I got to talk about that train wreck. So please, because of the sensitivity of black men, we are easily made to feel insecure about sometimes when we don't know, and we will rely on the strength that we do have, and that is a physical strength. And when the sister is there and she's giving information and she doesn't necessarily know how to voice it in that particular way for him, it may be a problem. You know, so I can see where the minister would give that advice so that the brothers can be properly trained on how to deal with the black woman. Because if you mishandle her, you got some serious repercussions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Praise be to God. Sister A.T., you got a closing statement?
Yes, sir. Just wanted to announce that the Nation of Islam is hosting its 9th annual singles retreat. This is for a registered MGT and FOI. It will be held in Missouri, Spanish Lakes, Missouri, which is just outside of St. Louis, August 22nd through the 25th. $250 covers everything, your lodging, your food, your materials, your facility use, activities. You can get more information if you go to healthyrelationships.noi.org. That's healthyrelationships.noi.org. You can probably also find information in the final call. As well as we'll have a banner on NOI.org pretty soon where you can click on it and go right to that website. And the issues that the brother just mentioned about legal issues, those are some of the issues that we are going to be talking about. And just real quickly, I came into a marriage, my marriage, with legal issues. I was fighting a discrimination case. I worked at juvenile court, and I was discriminated against. The case was going on while I was married. And my husband also had a child who had turned 12 and decided he wanted to live with his father. So there were child modification issues, child support issues. Those are things that sometimes you can't get away from, but at the same time, I think brother touched on it beautifully. You can manage it and manage it well. So those are some of the things that we're going to be dealing with at the retreat, as well as the science of mating, which is the theme for this year. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, sis. Thank you. And Brother Maurice, do you want to Brother Willie is going to be here in the second hour. What is any second now? Do you want to hang out with us for a minute, Brother Maurice, or you want to head on out?
I'm going to head on out, but I'm going to call back. I got a little run I've got to make. But, dear brother, it's been a pleasure. Sister A.T., it's been a wonderful pleasure to meet you over the conference and really work with you in this marriage, because it's so key. And I love to see young, beautiful Muslim couples get together and have little beautiful Muslim families. It's a beautiful thing to see. And thank you, Brother Jihad, for the opportunity to come on the airways and talk to the listener. But
I think, sir.
As a nation, if we continue on this drive, I think we'll be well, sir.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Brother Maurice, for being with us tonight. And Sister A.T., we'll talk again, because I got another week to go, another 2 weeks on this subject, so maybe you might want to come back and help us out again. I'll communicate with you during the week.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sister A.T. and Brother Maurice. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Brother Ron C., the soldiers out there want to know real quick before we go to the second hour, They want to know about who got their boots on the ground and responding to the call of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan this week. Let's go down to Jacksonville, Florida. Soldiers down in Jacksonville, Florida got their boots on the ground with the final call. Shout out, Jacksonville. Greensboro, North Carolina. Soldiers in Greensboro, North Carolina got their boots on the ground. They are not to be denied this week. The final call newspaper is spreading in North Carolina. Shout out, soldiers. Pensacola, Florida. That's right. Pensacola, Florida. The soldiers in Pensacola got their boots on the ground with the final call. Long Island, Strong Island, New York. Soldiers in Long Island got their boots on the ground with the final call, and they are not to be denied. Wilmington, Delaware, yes. Soldiers in Wilmington, Delaware, and the soldiers in Wilmington, Delaware got their boots on the ground. Shout out, soldiers. This is a salute to the soldiers, the fruit of Islam, who got their boots on the ground and is responding to the call of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Augusta, GA. That's right, Augusta, Georgia. Soldiers in Augusta, and they got their boots on the ground with the final call. Greenville, South Carolina. That's right, soldiers in Greenville. Shout out, soldiers, and keep up the good work. Portland, Oregon. Mighty soldiers in Portland, Oregon, of the fruit of Islam, and they got their boots on the ground. Sacramento, California. That's right, Sacramento. The soldiers in Sac got their boots on the ground with the final call. But our number one this week goes to the entire state of Alabama, Birmingham, Selma, Montgomery, Mobile, Tuskegee, Tuscaloosa. Why? Because the soldiers in Alabama secured the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He's major three events, Birmingham, Selma, and Montgomery. And the soldiers walked their pulse in the perfect manner, keeping always on the alert. Shout out, Alabama, and keep up the good work. Shout out to overseas, Africa, Belize, Mexico, Australia, Dominican Republic, we see you, and we appreciate you being on the line. Shout out, soldiers. Well, we're heading right into the second hour. We're going to get right to it right quick. We ran a little bit over because of our courtship questionnaire. Let's see who's on the line tonight at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks. Is our brother, student minister from Phoenix, Arizona, MAS 32, is our brother, student minister Charles Muhammad, on the line?
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
And how are you doing tonight, dear brother?
I'm fine. All praises due to Allah, brother Jihad. Thank you for having me again on the program. I thoroughly enjoyed myself last week and looking forward to another good discussion.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, sir. And is our brother from Louisiana, the mighty Muhammad's Mosque 46, mighty soldier down in Louisiana, New Orleans, got his boots on the ground, his student minister, Willie Muhammad, on the line.
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, sir, my brother. I'm on and glad to be back on your show. And thanks for the invite and to be here with other brothers like Brother Charles and everybody else who's on as well. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, and the honor is all mine, Brother Willie. We enjoyed you last week, brother, and I'm quite sure we're going to enjoy you this week. Is Top Gun, former state captain of Birmingham, Alabama, is Brother Ray Muhammad on the line? Brother didn't get in tonight. All right. Well, we're going to go with the two. Maybe he'll chime in, brother. Brother Rafi, keep a lookout for Brother Ray. He should be coming on pretty shortly. I don't know what happened to him. Well, let's get started. Let's go over, brothers, and talk about the time and what must be done. Part 23. My goodness. So much, Brother Charles. What say you? What stuck out at you at point number, at the time and what must be done, part 23?
Yes, sir. First of all, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, and I bear witness the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is the exalted Christ and the Messiah, and I further bear witness the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as our divine reminder and faithful servant, and once again I greet all of you with the greeting words of peace of As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Yes, sir. The it was so many points that the minister brought out. What kind of sticks out at me at this moment is the fact that he put a lot of focus on the youth. And he said that we must unite to save our youth. And he talked about how school has become a pipeline to prison. And this whole thing about arresting our youth and how when the youth around the age, around the fourth grade or so, it's when they start getting a little disruptive in class and these kind of things. And it just leads up to problems in detention. And that builds, and that's what the minister was talking about, a pipeline to prison. As being one who has been blessed to serve our nation on the West Coast in the prison ministry for over 25 years, I've seen quite a bit of some of the things that happened, and most of the early 80s, most of those cases were drug cases, but it was a systematic executive decision, you might say, that guided our youth into those into the prisons. When I was coming up, we had what they called industrial arts in school. We had wood shop, metal shop. There were after school activities, sports, and so on and so forth. Well, in California, there was a thing called Proposition 13. Proposition 13 cut out a lot of activities, after-school programs, cutbacks in funding. And you find that with youth that don't have a lot to do will find themselves gathering among themselves and all kinds of things as a result of that. You add to the problem by having youth with not a lot to do, not having a love of self, and then you flood the community with drugs and guns, and you see that's a very toxic mix, and that just played right into the plan, the overall plan, and the executive decision of how the enemy plans to guide our youth way back from the 60s to the 70s and the 80s and up until this moment. They have been planning and filling that pipeline with our young people.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Pardon me. Brother Willie, sir, what say you?
Well, and just going off of what Brother Charles said, right when the minister was talking about our youth, he made a very powerful statement that really struck the core of me when he said, it is not hopeless. When he was talking about our the ability to reform and save our youth. And we have to understand it, in particular those of us in the Nation of Islam, because we are one of the main reasons why people still have some semblance of hope in our people, because we have a nation of people who have come out of this beast's world. And I always ask people, you know, who has more faith? Does Iblis, who we know as the devil, is Satan, in the Quran, does he have more faith than us? Because in the Quran, when Allah was talking to him, when the conversation was about our people, Iblis asked Allah, he said, respite me until the day that they are raised. So Iblis didn't doubt that we were going to be raised. So if Iblis knows that we're going to be raised, why should we doubt? So we cannot be hopeless. And, you know, I know our condition is very bad. You look in, as it saw in the book of Ezekiel, when Ezekiel was put in the valley of the dry bones. Here, Ezekiel was a prophet of God who God had showed great miracles to. But when Ezekiel saw the condition of these dry bones and God came to him and asked him, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel turned back to God and said, God, only you know. But we say in the Nation of Islam that we represent the God that has prophesied that he left his holy place to come with a life-giving teacher, and he raised one up from amongst the dead. And that one that he raised up from amongst the dead raised many, 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 many more. So every believer in the Nation of Islam, you know, sometimes believers feel like they have less of a testimony because they can't say that they came out of jail or they were used to gangbang or they used to do whatever criminal activity. But the Most High Elijah Muhammad didn't say that God came just to save a gangbanger. He came to save the so-called Negro. So the sickness that all of our people are experienced with is so-called Negroism. So if we came out of that, we are a living testimony that these bones can live.
All praise is due to Allah. Brother Charles, give us another good talking point, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, he quoted some things from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes.
You know, people like to relegate Dr. King to the dreamer. But the minister said that he begged to differ because this man, he wasn't dreaming when he really woke up and saw how he felt that he was trying to integrate his people into a burning house. So after he began to have a brush with Islam and the famous meeting that he had with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his philosophy shifted somewhat. And
right.
he began to speak about the injustices of the Vietnam War. But one of the things that he said, and the minister pointed out that that black people are crimes, have committed crimes, but they are derivative crimes.
Mm.
You know, and the minister said, well, what did he mean? And Dr. King went on to say that these crimes are born out of a greater crime of white society. And we can see that we have patterned ourselves after the criminals of the Caucasian people here in America from the early 20s with Al Capone and John Dillinger and Babyface Nelson. And now we have a cult classic that came out as a movie called Scarface. Everybody want to be Tony Montana. You know, and so
these kinds of
ideas are derivative criminal mentality that we got from our oppressor, and we're trying to be like them. But our people are waking up now to the point because the minister is hurling truth and falsehood, brother, and the intensity of his truth is dispelling the ignorance of darkness in the minds of our people.
Yes. Yes, sir. Beautiful. Brother Willie, what say you, sir? You have another talking point for us.
Yeah. When the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan talked about Pharaoh's conspiracy, you know, it brought to mind something that I saw on a 60-minute special, which you can go and Google on the Internet. They did a special where they talked to a scientist by the name of Dr. Breedlove. And Dr. Breedlove said basically he talked about how he was able to make a male rat begin to display female tendencies. And he noticed that the female rats, when they begin to be in heat, they would stick up their head and toot up their backside. So he wondered, and look how sick he is, he wondered if he can produce those same behaviors in a male rat. So he began to shoot the male rats with estrogen dosages, which is a female hormone. And he noticed that the male rats who he shot with this estrogen, that they began to start demonstrating the same qualities as a female. And then they put these male rats who were beginning to display these qualities in a cell with a cage with another male rat, and they produced these two rats engaged in homosexual practices. And, you know, we're not casting off on our brothers and sisters who may be struggling with that one sin. We all have something. But I thought about that as a conspiracy. You know, Pharaoh said, as minister quote, he said, kill the male and spare the female. They already have us locked up. They already have us gangbanging. They already have us shooting each other, already have drugs. And now you have this thing where now you're destroying the black man. See, brother, that they're putting it in the food and the water and all other type of stuff, and we don't even realize it.
Brother, since you took it there, brother, let me go ahead and say this as I come to you, Brother Charles. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was talking about Martin Luther King Jr. when he said, if the soul is left in darkness, sins will be committed. The guilty one is not, he said, the guilty one is not he who commits the sin, but he who causes the darkness. He said Martin Luther King said the policymakers of politics have caused the darkness that created discrimination. They created slums that perpetuate unemployment, ignorance, and poverty. Brother Charles, what say you, sir?
Oh, brother, this is so magnificent what the minister is bringing out, because he is shining so much light on this subject in this time. And he's in present time and he's on time. It's just very, very, very valuable what we have, and a blessing to have the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in our midst in this particular time here in North America, particularly for us and the world in general. But getting back to what my brother Willie said, man, that is some real heavy stuff. Now,
you look at, and
I was listening to part of the show before we came on this segment, listening to the courtship and marriage segment. And
yes, sir.
When you look at the what is left for the black woman,
right?
Where you have men that don't really that have not qualified themselves, meaning they don't have enough economics to get married. You have men who like other men who are homosexual. You have men that are black men who are locked up in prison. You know, so what does the black woman have left to choose from? You know, with the proliferation of marriages being failing, over 50% of marriages don't work in America. And people feel that, you know, marriage is not a significant or not something that they might want to do in life, you know. So how do we perpetuate ourselves, you know, and this whole pipeline to prison and this whole destruction of the male and kill the boy babies and save the female, you know, which the minister pointed out in the book of Exodus. And the same thing happened with King Herod in the time of Jesus. They were looking for the birth of the Messiah, you know, and it's no accident that J. Edgar Hoover was looking for the rise of a black Messiah. That's in the COINTELPRO writing. So this whole proliferation and movement toward the destruction of the black male so that the female will be up for grabs and the female will actually look toward, she's being conditioned to look toward the enemy for her maintenance, you know, and so on and so forth. So it has a lot of dimension to it, this aspect of what the minister is dealing with and the destruction of our youth. It has great dimension to it.
Yes, sir. You know, Brother Willie, the minister also made a very sharp comparison to 47 years ago when Martin Luther King made this statement. Black men unemployment rate in the inner cities is 15% today, as it was 47 years ago. He said black youth, 30 to 40% unemployment 47 years ago, and it is the same today. What say you, Brother Willie?
Wow, you know, when I was watching it, as the minister was reading those words, I was like, man, it sounds like he's talking about 2013. You know, in a book written by Dr. Claude Anderson titled Black Labor, White Wealth, he has a chapter where he talks about the criminalization of black people. And he showed where the research shows that when there was a diminishing black employment in black neighborhoods, there's a direct correlation to black criminal involvement. And that's what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said. He said that unemployment is the basis of the criminal activity. And they know that. And it's like what Brother Charles was saying with Pharaoh, and what he did was kill the male, spare the female, and with this plot, you know. So if you take black men who are not black men, but men in general, specifically, you know, our nature is to be producers. And no man feels good, whether he's white, black, or whatever, if he can't provide for that which he is responsible for. But when you look at black men, here you have children. You mean to tell me, how does that feel, man? You know, how would Superman feel to know that he have all of these powers, but he can't even use them? That's frustration. And how do you handle that frustration? And if your nature is telling you you got to do something, you're going to go and do something. And what they do is they know that our nature is going to make us get out there and be a provider, but they only give us a limited amount of things by which we can provide. They'll do some type of, participate in some type of black market activity, and they do that because then they catch us, send us to court where their brother have us, send us to court with some of these weak black lawyers, lock us up, and then we're in this prison pipeline fulfilling what they knew and strategized with the 13th Amendment, making us slaves if you commit some type of crime. So that statement that you read when he says, read that part again when he says that, the darkness and the sin, that was heavy, man.
Oh, yes, sir, brother. He said, if the soul is left in darkness, sins will be committed. The guilty one is that he who, he says, the guilty one is not he who commits the sin, but he who causes the darkness.
And think about what the messenger quoted in Message to the Black Man, where that politician said that he said that basically we have prevented all life from entering the mind of the so-called, of the Negro, right? And he said that they will reduce us to the level of a beast on that field. So that statement goes right in the card to show that there has been and is a real live conspiracy to destroy black people.
Now, Brother Willie and Brother Charles, this is Martin Luther King that said this.
I know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I Have a Dream, Martin Luther King.
That's the king they don't want the people to see and hear.
Or the Dr. King after meeting with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Brother Charles, here's another one from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The enemy knows that our birth rate is going up and theirs is going down. So some are saying if this continues in about 20 years, the black and the brown will be the majority in America. And if that is the case, just having the right to vote and exercising that right will bring us into political power in practically every state where our numbers predominate. What say you, Brother Charles?
Well, first thing, Brother Jihad, is our people have been tricked into thinking that they are citizens. If they were true citizens, there would be no Voting Rights Act or bill. Either you're a citizen or you're not. Either you got the rights of a citizen or you don't. Either you can vote or you can't vote. Okay, so that's number one. The other thing is that we have to come together and begin to assess our needs. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said this. He said that a organized lie is more powerful than disorganized truth. We have to come together and organize ourselves and stop the religious gangbanging that a lot of our Christian brothers are perpetrating, and drop our signs, drop our labels, and come together and serve the people and satisfy the needs and solve the problems in our community. Now, let me just digress a little bit and go back to this prison industrial complex. They changed the name in California rehabilitation. They put it back in recently, but it used to be a part of the mission statement to rehabilitate so-called inmates, okay? They took that out, and they replaced it with punishment. Prison is for punishment, okay? Now, you have strong-minded black men and men inside in general that have the desire, which feeds the will, to transform their lives. I point to a case of Stanley Tookie Williams, who was one of the co-founders of the CRIP.
in L.A., okay? I happened to be blessed to be a part of the entourage that went into San Quentin with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan when he went to visit Tookie Williams on death row.
Mm-hmm.
Tookie Williams put out a tape, brother, that where he was saying that he had to look at himself, go inside of himself and ask himself this question: am I a man or am I a beast? And he said, I choose to be a man. Okay? Now, in that, he began to study and he began to rehabilitate and change. And he was able to cause others that looked up to him to go in another direction. Even though the youngsters that's coming up, they don't like to listen to nobody. They got their own program. But he was able to affect. But this man was given the Nobel Peace Prize for literature for writing, I think it was 6 children's books.
That's right.
And yet they would not allow this man a reprieve because of rehabilitation and the fact that he had changed his lifestyle by changing his mind and changing his thinking. So it's never good enough. It's never good enough for the enemy. And we have done so much to change. And like that brother is a good example, and there's others that have done the same thing. So much to change and change our direction and become more responsible in our actions and in our thoughts. But the enemy does not even want to take that into consideration. He killed him anyway. Killed him anyway.
Wow. You're out on the front line with the fruit of Islam tonight. Is there a caller in queue? 832. What say you, 832? Brother Rafi, is there a caller in queue at 832?
Yes, sir. The mic is open on 832.
832. What say you, 832? You're out live, out on the front line with the fruit of Islam tonight. Okay, brother, they're not ready to talk, Brother Rafi. You can go on and mute them back out. Brother Willie, what say you, sir?
Yes,
you got another talk? You got another talking point?
Yeah, you know, when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan read point number 9 of What the Muslims Believe, when he talked about how integration was a hypocritical gesture, really was a trick. You know, in the scripture, I always was interested to me how a powerful figure such as Pharaoh were called magicians and called enchanters. You know, here's a man, you're not thinking about somebody calling a magician who's going to pull a rabbit out of hat. But the scripture uses magicians because God is letting us know that Pharaoh had access to people who could deceive. Pharaoh had access to people who were skilled at creating illusions. You know, as statistics are showing that the gap between black and white wealth is increasing. You know, all of these indexes that really show that black folks are not catching up to Caucasian people. But they still have our people deceived because we can see on television somebody getting a couple of million dollar contract for tennis shoes. We see a black president. And we don't realize that here you, the time when you've been deceived, there's an actual plot against your life. And as Brother Charles pointed out, even when we change our lives, as he used the example with Brother Tookie Williams, even when we change our lives and change the lives of others is not enough. And I remember when that happened, man, they came out with a stat that showed where Tookie Williams had maybe printed over 100,000, 190,000 some children books that were printed all over the world that children read. There hasn't been over 190,000 black men who died in California from the Bloods and Crips and gangbanging. So here's a man that's affecting more lives, and that fear was not enough for them.
Not enough. Go ahead. Brother Charles, what say you, sir?
Well, brother, I'm looking in the Bible right now, brother, in chapter 9 of Ezekiel, and I just want to share this because this is what it's going to come to. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that only the very good will adhere to the word and make a change, but the rest will have to be submitted by the chastisement of Almighty God Allah. And we can see that through the tornadoes, Hurricane Sandy, the earthquakes in Alaska, Japan, and throughout the earth, these terrible cyclones happening in Southeast Asia, and the destruction that is coming upon America for her mistreatment among the slaves. But listen to what this says in the book of Ezekiel chapter 9, starting with verse 3. It says, "And the glory of the Lord of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the riders, and he called the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's ink horn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations and that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others, he said, in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house." So this is what is coming, brothers. And as the minister said, it's going to start in the house. It's going to start in the house because we are responsible. And the more knowledge that we are given, the more responsibility we have. We have to work very hard while there is still daylight. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, when the window of opportunity to work, the time will come when no man will be able to go out and work because of the darkness that will cover the cities and America. So we have to strive hard. But this mark is the life of a man, a righteous man, a man who in the time of Moses, it was the lamb's blood on the doorpost that saved the people. Now, I wasn't necessarily talking about you. You all know I'm preaching to the choir. We know that it's the life of a righteous man, the life of a righteous man, his way, his truth, his methodology, his honesty, his love for God and his people. Is if we accept that, if we put that in our foreheads and let that transfer from our thinking into our hands and our actions, if we do that, then we can be saved. Otherwise, we'll be slain utterly, men, women, and children.
All praise is due to Allah. Brother Charles, you keep teaching, brother, because you're not just teaching to the choir, brother. Africa's listening. Belize is listening. Dominican Republic, Mexico is listening, Australia is listening, and all throughout the United States, brother, people are listening to you out on the front line tonight and rolling over into tomorrow, brother. So you are not preaching to the choir, brother. You just keep on preaching.
All praise is due to Allah.
Brother Willie, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said this, the trick of integration. He said, when Dr. Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement opened a way for us to go into business establishments, that we were denied entry into or to sleep into hotels or motels or dine in restaurants that we were not permitted to sleep in or dine in before, we took our money away from spending it with our own and building a future for our own, and we began to spend our wealth with those who denied us entry for 400 years into their establishments. Say you, sir.
You know, I think right around the minister began to start talking about that, he pointed to the movie 42 with Jackie Robinson.
Yes.
He talked about how he said that movie didn't really capture all of what Jackie Robinson experienced, But in Claude Anderson's book, I read several of his books, man, and he has a book that's titled Dirty Little Secrets about Black History. In the book, he talks about how when the Negro Baseball League, that he talks about the negative impact that had on the Negro Baseball League. He says when the Negro Baseball League was up and running, that you had black physicians, black coaches, right? You had all of these black people that had employment. He even said how the Negro Baseball League, the attendance of the baseball league, had higher attendance at their games than the white baseball teams. But what happened was we thought that white ice is colder, white rice is whiter. When they allowed one of us in, we didn't realize that the diamond that we was looking for was already under our nose, you know? Just like it says in our lessons. It's a trader made an interpretation that we will receive more gold. Well, we didn't realize we were already standing on the ground that produces the gold. And that's one of the things that is happening. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, he said that is one of the reasons why our people are suffering today, because we forsake doing something for ourselves to go and be with Caucasians. Now you see that our people are suffering because we didn't build our own. We're waiting for people that oppressed us to now give us jobs.
Brother Charles, yes, he said, you have denied us everything that would make us justified, free, and equal. We pay taxes like any other citizens, but our taxes support a school system that does not feed us, that does not educate us, that does not qualify us. We supported political systems that have been against us from the very beginning. What say you, sir?
Well, I agree 100%, brother. It's a lesson on why we must come together and do something for ourselves. Some may ask and question the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, well, Brother Minister, why would you go down? Why would you go down to support our people for a voting rights bill? Well,
wow.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan understands that once he supports their aspirations as far as trying to solve this thing politically, and they see and understand that it just does not work, then they got to come back home. They got
That's
to
right.
come back around and look at this man, Farrakhan. Look at this man, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Look at the Nation of Islam and reassess their thinking and rearrange their position on how they relate to us, and just maybe, they might come on board before the chastisement tears they behind up.
Go ahead, Brother Charles. Brother Willie, he says, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says, we fight for a government that has been against the liberation struggle of our people. It is not that we have been your enemy, but a government that has been ours. What say you, sir?
That was Pharaoh's greatest fear, you know, because of the dirt that they did the children of Israel. When he saw them increasing, he was concerned that if they increased to such a degree, they might, that at a time of war, they might join on and support those who were considered to be enemies of theirs. You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, once again with this broadcast that just passed, once again, he is doing like Muhammad is written of in the history of Islam, where Muhammad
yes.
made a call out to all of the, when he asked, he made a call out where he needed help to help put the black stone back in its proper place. And you know, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan have said that until the black man and woman's problem in America is solved and properly addressed, there will be no world peace in the world. You know, for some people, it's hard to believe, though that is true. But if you know who the true children of Israel are, then you will understand that that statement is 100% fact.
Mm-hmm. Brother
yes,
Charles,
yes, sir,
I'm going to tell you something, brother. It's the 23, the series was really... It got to me because he talked about, I'm here in Atlanta, Georgia, and he talked about 58,000 prisoners are
yes.
working for 23 cents a day.
Yes.
53,000 prisoners. Then he also talked about how the government is ready to move on 18,000 GBs in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, please address this, please.
Well, brother, it's not surprising.
That's right.
But it is alarming. The enemy is going to continue in his line. We have to understand that he's gotten us in between a rock and a hard spot, meaning that if you don't have any economics, if you don't have any way to support yourself legally, you're gonna take the philosophy of Malcolm by any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna do something, and our behavior has become predictable. You know, they have a thing called the MO, your modus operandi.
Yes.
And with his ability to spy and have the kind of surveillance that he has now, and with this whistleblower now that's telling the American people how the government of America is spying on everybody and in foreign lands, then the black man and woman here in America and oppressed people in America does not really have a chance when it comes to criminal behavior. So at some point, we're going to have to draw the line and say, look, there's no way that I can beat the devil being the devil. There's no way that I can beat Satan being Satan. So maybe what Minister Farrakhan is saying might work for me. I tried everything else, and we're taught that Islam comes when all else fails. So this whole piece in society about if you work hard, you can make it, and if you just get a good education, you can make it. But they're burning crosses on people who have doctor's degrees.
Wow.
They're doing all kinds of things against people who are so-called making it in society. So, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you can rise no higher than the condition of your people. So if the bottom rung of our people is down in the dirt, then we down in the dirt too, until we lift them up, until we go up under them and lift them up and show them a better way. But sometimes, brothers, the intellectuals of our people are so saturated with envy and not understanding that how can this man without letters be learned, when the scripture clearly tells them that God is feeding that man, God is guiding that man, and God is backing that man. So when they see a man like Farrakhan stand up, and some ask the question, well, why ain't he dead, you know, for talking like he talking? Well, he's backed by God. The minister have called them out and said, don't leave no stone unturned. Come at me with all that you have and see who will be the winner. So we just have to line ourselves up with the minister and understand what he's doing. But this whole prison thing, man, is very, very, very deep. I'll tell you another story. I went to a prison in San Diego, California, and the warden was giving us a tour, and it happened to be a Nike plant on the compound.
Wow.
They actually made Nike shoes on the compound. Now,
wow.
These men, they're making 23 cents an hour, you know, but they'll never be able to pay for any shoes, you know, and these institutions, this prison industrial complex, sells shares on the open market on the stock exchange. So we can see how advantageous it is to make the inmates work for little or nothing to produce a product that is sold at a very high cost on the open market and even traded on the stock exchange. So, again, brother, the prison industrial complex, the new plantation is the prison, as we know, and our people have to be shown a better way to make a transition. And it's not unlikely for if you find a brother who is in criminal activity to change that over into legitimate business. They burn
right.
it all. That's the history of America. That's what,
right.
that's what John Kennedy's daddy did. You know, there
right.
are many, many instances where you had criminals in the early ongoings of America in the 1910s, 1920s, 1930s, and now they have legitimized their business. Look at the Lehman Brothers, who started as slave plantation cotton owners. And look what became of them, you see. So our people who are caught up into criminal activity can change, and we have to help them. We have to guide them. We have to show them that it's a better way and try to guide them into legitimate business and transform the lives of our people and our communities.
All praise is due to Allah. You're out on the front line with the fruit of Islam tonight. 832, I understand you have a question, 832. What say you? Okay, they're having a difficult time getting in. We'll try one more. 702, what say you? 702, what say you?
Hello, brothers, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me, dear brother?
Yes, I can hear you, sir.
Oh, okay, this is Brother Leon Muhammad out of Las Vegas, Nevada. Mosque
praise
number
be six. To Allah.
Yes,
Salaam alaikum, Brother Leon. How are you, soldier?
Nah, I'm fine, brother. All praise be to Allah. And you, sir, this is Brother Jihad, right?
Yes, it is, sir. We on fire tonight, brother. I got two of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's fireball representatives. You got a question for him?
Oh, yes, sir, brother. Either one of the ministers. I'm familiar with Brother Minister Charles. He was in Amaz 27 when I first came in, and we were just down there, I think, a little while back doing some security for the minister there. And
okay.
Brother Charles stopped through the house. So, well, my question is, brother, I would like, this is for, you know, either brother from the panelists, either minister.
Okay.
About, you know, how the loans are being gave to people that come from other countries and come here and set up businesses in our community, and we spend money with them. I just wanted, brother, maybe to elaborate on that. And is it by design, you know, the bigger picture, you know? Because I didn't hear, I didn't think, I heard one of the brothers say something about it, but they didn't, you know, really elaborate on it. If that, you know, could be discussed or later on or whatever, but you know, that's my question, brother. If you could elaborate on that, did I give enough information on the question I wanted answered?
Brother Charles or Brother Willie, what say you, sir? Thank you, Brother Leon, for your call,
thank
sir.
You. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
I go ahead, Brother Willie.
In regard to that, I'll just say, you know, Honorable Minister Lewis kind of said, man, you know, until we as a people begin to start understanding we have to get up and do something for ourselves, we're going to always allow someone else to come in and suck the blood out of our community. So the Most High Elijah Muhammad said, do for self or suffer the consequences. And one of the consequences is being used as an instrument for a blood sucker.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, brother Charles, sir, we got 2 minutes. So you want to give us a closing remark?
Well, I'm just striving hard, brother, to focus on what the minister is focusing on, and that is the youth, and working continuously in the community, trying to make friends with our people, and gain some ground for our nation. And try to be a good example of what a Muslim is as we push this program forward. The thing that keeps us divided, not only as so-called religious people, but even in the house, is envy and jealousy, and we have to fight against that. We have to fight against the hypocrisy and the infiltration of agents in the house, because we are in that hour. We are in the hour of betrayal. We are in that hour when Jesus said, could not you stay awake for 1 hour while I pray? So we have to be ever on guard. We have to keep our antennas way up and our radar on full blast so that we can pick up the subtleties of the enemy and understand that this enemy likes to infiltrate by the weaknesses of the believer. So if a believer is weak and they have a case pending with the court system, then they may get approached. They may get approached to see if they can be turned and say that whatever your charge is, you know, we'll let you go if you just say Mr. Farrakhan told you to do it. See, that right there, that will get you in deep trouble. You would rather have a date stone tied around your neck than dropped into the depth of the sea than try some stuff like that against Minister Farrakhan. There are many angels around him in the form of men that do the bidding of Allah for his protection. And the enemy is well aware of it, but the enemy can't help himself. He has to try to destroy God's man. Otherwise, he's looking for that. He's looking for that. The opponent of God is going to try God to the nth degree. You see, so we just have to keep our be aware of the subtleties of the lies and our own deceptive intelligence that causes us to rationalize disobedience to God. So we just have to be very aware and keep working cheerfully, as he said, among the believers, give the believers good news and be hard on the disbelievers and hypocrites.
Yes, sir. Thank you, beloved. We ran completely out of time. Brother Rafi, let's rise, soldier. I want to give us thanks to all. That's our show for this week. But be sure to join us next week for part 3, courting. It's not dating. How the righteous find a spouse. Our guest will be the Western Regional Student Minister, Tony Muhammad, and the Queen of the Nation Building Network, Sister Queen Aziza Mariam. That'll be in the first hour. Thank you, Sister A.T. Thank you, Brother Maurice, Student Minister Charles, Student Minister Willie. And we're going to get you back, Brother Willie. I know you want to come on that first panel. I'm going to call you. We're going to work that out, sir. All right, so let's go ahead and say this. Don't forget, Saturday, the time and what must be done. All right, you know what time it is. That's going to be at 6 o'clock Central Time. All right, at www.noi.org. That's this Saturday at 6 o'clock. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the time and what must be done, part 24. Also join the Nation of Islam webcast every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time by going to www.noi.org. On Twitter, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said these words, "Nothing worthwhile comes without struggle or without sacrifice." End quote. To join the Nation of Islam at a location near you, just call the National Center of the Nation of Islam in Chicago, Illinois at 773-324-6000. To purchase the Final Call newspaper and all of the Final Call products, just go to www.store.finalcall.com or call 1-866-602-1230, extension 322. On behalf of the believers around the world, we love you, dear Apostle, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and thank you for the time and what must be done.
original salute to our Supreme Captain Lucifer Farrakhan and the FOI staff. Till next week, God.